There you go. Sorry, Stephanie.
Good morning. And welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. I'm having deja vu. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, November 9th, 2023. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 164, the second full paragraph, beginning with, "Our book is meant to be suggestive only," ending with, "This is the great fact for us." We are reading and commenting on only one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Susan G., who will be reading the text, Kara L., reading page 164, and Robin P. And someone is not muted. Please mute your phone, star one. Robin P. will be our backup reader today. Our newcomer greeter is Sherry M., and announcements will be Leslie M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Wednesday, November 8th, 2023, is 20,818 or 20818. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,820 or 20820. All right, OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Sandy T. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. So grateful to be here. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Sandy T. And I will now ask Jan S. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Yeah, hello to all. This is Jan S. from California. And these are our 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except on matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Each OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me share a pass.
Well, thank you so much, Jan S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then please press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 164, the second full paragraph, beginning with, "Our book is meant to be suggestive only," ending with, "This is the great fact for us." We are reading and commenting on just that one paragraph, that one rich paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Susan G. to begin reading.
Thank you, Stephanie. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Good morning, everybody. Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Los Angeles in Southern California. Gosh, there is so much in here, and it's wonderful to start the day with this paragraph because it's taking me through what I am going to do today. And for many years when I was coming in and out of the rooms, I also would go to open AA meetings, and a lot of AA clubhouses have this up on the wall. They have the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, and you start to learn them and sing them like a song. And today, the wonderful thing is, I don't sing them like a song, even though I could, but they are working in my life. So this book is meant to be suggestive. I have chosen to take these suggestions and every day humble myself and have a leveling of pride, which isn't always fun, to realize I know only a very, very little. And I start my day out you know, asking God. I get into that spiritual gym, me and God, we have a good workout for an hour or so, and we consider what Susan is doing for the day. But before she begins with her big checklist, I ask God to direct my thinking, and as it says on page 86, especially, that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. And in that way, I'm available to take my sponsee course first thing in the morning. I'm available for my friends at work, for my boss. I'm there. But it also tells me so that I cannot transmit this. I don't have it. So I don't have a platform where I'm paid to read something out of a book to you and off you go and do your homework. I identify with everything in here. So the 4 and 5, the 8s and the 9s, you know, making amends, all of those things. I can't tell you how to do it if I haven't had the experience, because that is, as we read earlier up on the page, we discover the joy of helping others to face life again as you have helped me. And it told me on page 86 that this will work if I have the proper attitude and work at it. And it doesn't give me a time of, you do this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can have a break. It's each day for that person who is still sick, which if I stop doing that can be me as well. So my own house has to be in order. I have to have worked the steps precisely how they have been laid out, which I have done and done more than once. And then there's this relationship with the God of my understanding, not just on a Sunday night. And great events have come to pass for me and countless others as I've walked around in these rooms, as I've zoomed around the world and made all of these new and wonderful friends. So this is the great fact for all of us, and what I have today I know is possible for everyone. And I have 5 seconds, so I'm going to pause there and thank you for letting me be of service. Over to you, Stephanie.
Oh, thank you so much, Susan. What a great way to get us started this morning. Well, we are now going to open up the meeting for sharing, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So, if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. And please keep your share to 3 minutes so that we can allow as many people as possible to share. We have couple hundred people plus on this line every morning. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up. When you hear the timer, please finish your sentence, not necessarily your thought, to give others a chance to share this morning. So I'm going to get a lineup, and I'm going to ask if you could please give me your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from. Who would like to share?
Larry G.,
Florida.
I got Larry G., and then Florida. Was that Bruce? Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Brucey, gotcha.
Mary Ross G., Los Angeles.
I got your Ross G.
E-U-K.
Someone before you, there was Mary.
Yes, Mary Ellen E. Israel.
I'm sorry, Mary what?
Mary Ellen G.
Gotcha, Mary Ellen. Thank you so much. And then I heard someone from Israel.
Liz E-U-K.
Deb E. for Israel.
I heard you, Liz, from UK, but I still didn't get the person from Israel.
It's Debbie.
Thank you so much, Deb. It's just really hard to hear when everyone's talking at once. Do we have anyone else who wants to get in on this first lineup? Okay, here's what I've got. I've got Larry G., I've got Bruce E., Mary Ellen B., Roz G., Deb E., and Liz E. And Larry, you're up first, followed by Bruce.
Yes, my name's Larry G., I'm up in California, and thank you, moderator. What a generous energy you have, and also the reader. That was powerful. I'm going to go back and listen to that again. That was said it all in that 3 minutes. I love this meeting, and I love all of you. I have the reader said that she zooms all over the world, has friends everywhere, and I have friends in Ohio, in Pennsylvania, in New York, in New Mexico, in California, and I never met you before, but I feel like we're like we're kinship, we come from the same family. And then this chapter, this paragraph, makes me cry every time we read it, especially the part that God will constantly disclose more to you and us. And this is a great fact. And I was never like this before I got to Vision for you, because I was in relapse. I had the unsurrendered mind, and I would judge you in meetings. I would take your inventory. I would say I come from a mothership. And if you weren't out there talking about the big book, I was judging you. And I was cute and funny and dramatic. I was an actor on the stage. And today, all that has been, thank God, just has been smashed. And God does reveal more to me each day. And I'm not the same man that I was even a week ago. I'm experiencing some pain right now on a scale of 1 to 10, about a 12. I injured my neck, and I was a complaint. I would be a complaint, and I would use food to medicate myself. I would go out and buy a dozen donuts and eat them as fast as I could. And today, I'm giving up this pain to God so someone else can't suffer. I mean, who is this guy? I mean, this is a miracle. And we're now in this chapter. We've gone from the doctor's opinion, where we were just sick and dying drunks, to this vision for all of us to go out in the world and to practice these steps in all of our affairs. I thank you, everybody on this call. Every one of you have inspired me. Some of you I've never met before, talked to, but this call is like medicine for me. It's like religion, and I love you all, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Larry G. from California. Next, we have Bruce E., followed by Mary Ellen B.
Yeah, I'm Bruce. Thank you. I'm Bruce E. I'm in Florida, Southwest Florida, Fort Myers, Florida, and I'm recovered today, and it's tremendous, and I think this reading is wonderful. And we realize we know only a little. Well, let's see. Now, that's a rough one for me, because I thought a big part of my life that I knew everything, you know. I mean, I just thought I knew everything. And if I didn't, I could make it up and tell you something. So I'm finding out now, this is right-sizing me, that I know only a little. Well, that's humbling. But it does go on to say God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. So that sounds like that God will give me what I need, you know. So I don't know much, so, but you know, God will just keep disclosing a little bit here and there, a little bit here and there, whatever I need, he'll give to me, you know. And that's what he does. That's what he does. And you know, this asking of your morning meditation, what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. So I'm praying this morning. And this guy's name pops up that lives down here. He's down here in the winter. I think he's probably down here about now. Gets down here in November, stays through the winter. So I'm thinking, you know, his name popped up. So he kind of talked like he wanted to get together, start getting together. Before he left last time to go to New York, he was talking about wanting to get together. So maybe we'll see how that goes. We'll meet and see what comes out of that get together, that relationship. So I got to call him first, right? I can't just sit around, you know. He's not going to call me probably. I got to call him. So that's what happens when I ask that question about ask him in the morning meditation what you can do each day for the man. So I can call somebody. That's what I can do each day for the man who's still sick. And so I, you know, my problem is I have a broken brain, you know, and I think food will fix me, and it doesn't. And I proved that to myself, and food can't fix me. I thought it could, but it couldn't, you know, it can't, not in the long term. It'll bring up a little serotonin or a little endorphins or a little bit of dopamine when I inject it into my system, but then that gets over with real quick. And so food won't fix me. Well, what'll fix me? Well, God in this program, you guys, that's what fixes me. You know, and I need fixing because I do have this broken brain. You know, that's a broken, that's what I have. But that's okay because God can fix that. God's ask him in your morning meditation, which you can do each day for a minute, so God will constantly disclose more to you than us. That's what he does.
That's timely.
Tells me more. Thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much. Bruce E. from Florida. Next up, we have Mary Ellen B., followed by Rod G.
Good morning. This is Mary Ellen. T is in Tango, and I live in Oregon. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I've had a journey in these past 5 years since coming into a vision for you and learning about the Big Book and learning how to practice and apply what the Big Book teaches us and the ideals that are and promises that are that have come true for me too. But those ideals have really been something that's helped me to shape my life and to become aware and ask higher power to help me be able to move towards those ideals. I when I was reading this paragraph earlier, I was reminded of an outreach phone call that I took as a recovered individual about a year ago, and the fellow wanted to do her two-way prayer with someone on the phone, and but, you know, I wasn't able to transmit something that I didn't have at that time because I was in the process of beginning a relapse, and I wasn't spiritually fit. I was starting to have food behaviors that were showing up here and there, and I was trying really hard to keep my abstinence, but those behaviors were becoming increasingly present, and, you know, even though I was doing the work of the program, I was losing my spiritual wellness, and I wasn't able to be of service to that fellow. And I, in an irritating way, said to her, "You know, you should do your praying before you do outreach phone calls, so that way I can be of help to you and to other people as well." And that was so selfish of me, you know. And I've done a few since this last year, and one of the things that's become really obvious to me is that I'm very selfish and self-absorbed. And one of the ways that I can see it during my day is when I get irritated if somebody's taking up too much of my time or caused me an inconvenience, and it reminds me, oh, you're really focused on yourself right now, you know, and the ideals in the Big Book and what my higher powers guided and encouraged me to be is to you know, use the words of the St. Francis prayer, and, you know, how can I be of service to other people? How can I be loving? How can I give you time? How can I be anything other than my selfishness? And so I just love how, you know, this paragraph reminds me that I can't transmit something that I haven't got, and I've got to work on my relationship every single day with my higher power so that I can recognize when I'm becoming self-focused and, you know, the key for me is to become outwardly focused. And that's all I have. I'm Mary Ellen T. in Oregon, and I always love outreach. Take care.
Well, thank you so much, Mary Ellen T. from Oregon. All right, next up, I've got Roz G., followed by Deb E.
Okay, good morning, and thank you for your service, your wonderful inspiration. Thank you. My name is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Palmdale, California, which is in the county of Los Angeles. There's so many things I could say about each sentence. And I guess the first thing I want to say is that the more I advance in age and in experience in this program, the more I need to learn. The more I think I know, the more I don't know. And I don't say that in a negative way. I say that in, you know, as the disease progresses, whether I eat or not, my life progresses, and there's, you know, there's always something new to learn. And, you know, as I'm in, you know, I turned 60 years old and I didn't like it, I'm working on changing my perspective and attitude about it and asking God, okay, this is where I am. What do you want me to do? How can I be a servant, you know, now that my kids are grown and doing their own thing and I have this open life in front of me? I've been a good and faithful servant with my children. What can I do now? And it says on page 100, you know, when we look back, when we realize the things that came to us, when we put ourselves in God's hands, were far or better than anything we could have planned. And it says, see to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass. So if I put myself in God's hands and my relationship with God is right, then greater things that I could have ever planned will come to pass. And they have over the years. I've made so many changes. I try to be an other-centered and God-centered person versus a self that's a timer in my kitchen. God-centered or other-centered versus a self-centered person. And as was said in the, you know, before, every morning, each morning, the word each, the dictionary, you know, I do not have one in front of me right now, but I've been told to look that word up. Well, every single morning, ask God in a meditation time what I can do to be of service. And I had the joy of being able to work with a sponsee this morning. I have the joy of being able to call my mom and ask her what she needs and help my animals and help my students and be a mentor teacher. And I get such gifts and rewards and, you know, learning how to be a gardener. And now I've taken up dancing as a hobby and being a partner, being a team member, being in sync with another person has been so other-centered. God has given me a beautiful life and I don't want to be negative and remorseful at aging. I want to look forward to the age ahead. Thank you for that beautiful bell I passed.
Thank you, Raz G. from California. Before I take the next person, I want to let you know where we're at if you're just joining us. We are on page 164. We're reading the second full paragraph, beginning with, our book is meant to be suggestive only, ending with, this is the great fact for us. And next up, I've got Deb E., followed by Liz E.
Thank you. Hi, this is Debbie, recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And it's like has been said, like every single sentence of the paragraph has a lot to it. I like the reminder right away that this book is just a bunch of suggestions. Like nobody's making me do this. No one's telling me I have to. And no one's also going to do the work for me. I have to do it. I have to be the one who is open to the suggestions, who realizes I need the help, and who's willing to do the work. And God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. This thing I've been thinking about a lot lately, and I've got it written kind of in a different way in a card, on a card I read every morning, and it's like, it says something like, it's like a message from my higher power, and it says, I will be given the answers or I'll be given the direction exactly when I need it. Not when I think I need it, not when I want it, but exactly when I need it and if I need it, right? I have all these ideas about how things should go, but really I need to listen to my higher power and just be patient. This program is such a good lesson, just being living a spiritual life to me is such a lesson in patience, because it's the opposite of being in control. Not that I was ever in control. That was just an illusion of control. But if I'm really surrendering and really following my higher power's will, I need a lot of patience. I need to be okay with waiting sometimes that the answers will only come when the answers are supposed to come. They won't come in my timing. They'll come in my higher power timing, which is always the best timing. And the reminder again that I've got to do this work myself before I can be of service to anyone. And I like how it tells us that in our morning meditation, like right from the beginning of the day, as soon as I wake up, I need to figure out how I can be of service to others. That's how I start my day, by asking for the help, asking for the direction, asking basically for what my orders are for the day in the spiritual work, right? Like, what's my list for today? Not the list that I come up with that's always impossible to achieve, but the list that my higher power has for me, and it's based on service and it's based on the spiritual connection. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Deb E. from Israel. Next up, we have Liz E.
Good morning. Good afternoon. It's Liz E. for Elegant from Bristol in the UK. Thank you for hearing me, and thank you everybody for your service today. And just really want to encourage anybody who's having a bad day or is new, just do star one. It really matters, and it will help you. I didn't want to do this. I've asked God to speak through me because I don't know what to say. I'm in a bit of a bad spot at the moment, but I have to work my program even harder today because this is a design for living that works in rough going. And it's really humbling here. We realize we know only a little. Wow. You know, some days I think, you know, I go into overdrive of self-will, knowing that I know how to rule, you know, organize everything and do everything. And, you know, the last week has really shown me I know virtually nothing, only a little. And it's so good to be reminded of that in this text. So, so good. And so good to level me and humble me and ask him with a capital. That's God. God, the all-powerful higher power that I have. What you can do for the man who is still sick. I have to get out of my head. Staying in my head is a dangerous neighborhood. And the more I get out of my head and help other compulsive overeaters, the better my day, the better my heart is, the quieter the irritations, the quieter the distress inside of me. And the answers will come. So that kind of indicates some patience. That indicates that this is up to God when the answers will come, not up to me, not up to you, up to God. And again, this reminds me that I allow self-will to step in the way and block me from God, because self-will blocks God speaking to me, communicating with me, helping me, supporting me, comforting me. And yeah, 100%. Obviously, you can only transmit something you cannot transmit something you haven't got. So I can only transmit what I've got. And today I'm recovered and I'm so, so grateful for that. And I love sharing that. But I also need to work at this every day. And I need to hear from other recovered compulsive overeaters to keep me going, because today it is one day at a time. I start new every day, and my disease is there new every day waiting for me. And then this finished the great fact with capital letters. This is a truth. This is not a made-up story, a fable, a fiction. This is a fact. And that is so all of this is so hopeful. It's full of hope that there is this program that we have is just amazing. Lots of love to everybody. Love outreach. Take care. Have a good day. Bye.
Thanks, Liz E. from the UK. And now we're going to get another lineup. And please, if you've shared on Tuesday or Wednesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share. Please give us your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Anna B.
I didn't hear the first name. I heard someone B.
Karen Donna. KZ in Missouri.
You, Karen, but I didn't hear the person after you.
Oh. Donna B.
Gotcha, Donna. Thank you.
Amy G.
I've got Amy G.
Hillary B.
Hillary B.
Mona S.
Okay, and Mona S. And I think we'll probably, that's probably all we can fit today, but we'll see how it goes. I've got Karen KZ, Donna B, Amy G, Hillary, Mona S, and please let us know where you're calling from. And we'll start with Karen KZ, followed by Donna B.
Thank you, Stephanie. This is Karen KZ in Missouri, recovered, gratefully recovered. I love this paragraph because I think most of us have it memorized because we hear it on this meeting every day and so many other meetings. But what stands out for me in this thing is that see to it that your relationship with him is right. And for me, I used to just think my morning meditation time and my talking with God was enough, but I'm finding that I need to do that throughout the entire day. For example, I start every single day saying, God, take me over. Please take me over. Think through me your thoughts. Speak through me your words, not mine. Act through me your actions for your glory, for my healing and the healing of the world. And I have to do that throughout the day because I keep taking it back. I keep taking it back and doing what Karen wants to do. And when I lose that connection, when I lose that relationship, I'm on my own. And the choices I make are not the best. So I have to keep that going because when I do that, great events do come to pass for me and countless others. God is changing and rearranging me, rewiring me, and I'm a completely different person. For example, yesterday, my husband, I said, would you like me to return those things to Lois for you? Oh, no, I'll do it. And then later he asked me again, and my hesitation was, wait a minute, I offered before and you didn't want me to. And then I remembered, no, I get an opportunity to be of service. And then, like today, he forgot something he wanted from the store when I went, and I said, okay, I'll go get that for you today. And I'm like, who is this? Who is this person? I like her. And this is not me doing it. This is actually God doing it. So I don't know. It's not just about asking what you can do for the person who's still sick, but it's asking, how can I be of service to everybody? How can I represent and be who I was created to be? So anyway, I love this program. I love all of you, and I appreciate all your shares. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Karen KZ from Missouri. Next up, Donna B., followed by Amy G.
Hi, this is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, binge purge bulimic, and exercise bulimic in Denver, Colorado. And when I look at this paragraph as a whole, what it reminds me of is that this is a process, an ongoing process that is dependent on my continuing to stay close to my higher power, on my continuing to consider the needs of others, dependent on my continuing to seek God's will for me, and to continue showing up in my life. You know, there are all of these events, great events, that will come to pass for me and to countless others, assuming that I continue to show up. And last weekend, we had a great event. We had my son's bar mitzvah, and there were aspects of it that were really beautiful and meaningful. And there were also aspects of really the party that were very challenging and very disruptive and created a schism in my family that we are continuing to navigate. And so it's been a reminder to me that as I draw close to my higher power and as I seek my higher power and take direction from my higher power, it doesn't always look or feel the way I would want it to or imagine it to. Sometimes the great events that come out of schisms, out of arguments, out of challenges, out of hurt, out of pain. And I never would have wished for what happened to have happened on that Saturday night. But it's pretty miraculous what has come out of that process. And I'm anxious and willing to continue to grow out of that experience. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. Next up, Amy G., followed by Hillary B.
This is Amy G. in Southwest Washington. a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater. I knew someone who once said the book is suggestive the way wearing a parachute is suggested if you're going to jump out of an airplane. And I always remember that this is not suggestive, like I don't have to really listen to it, but to save my life, I have to listen. And it says, we realize we know only a little. And it took me many decades in program to realize I knew only a little. I didn't work the program, but I went to meetings. I read books. I became friends with people who were recovered. And I didn't have a relationship with a higher power. But then I discovered visions, and I have a vision sponsor, and life changed. And I'm so grateful for all the changes. And when I make sure that my relationship with him is right, great events do come to pass, and I'm so grateful. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Amy G. from Washington. Next up, we have Hillary B., followed by Mona F.
Hi, Hillary B. in California, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And I'm so grateful that I know today that I'm recovered just for today. And I have to do today what I did yesterday and the day before. And I have so much recovery in my head that was not real recovery. It's in my head all the time, how much I know. And I'm just recently, 7 months or something, on this path, this Vision for You path, this Big Book recovery path. And it's so valuable to me. And I agree with, I think, Amy G., who just said, our book is meant to be suggestive, like we need to use a parachute when we jump out of an airplane. That kind of suggestive. And it says, God will constantly disclose more to you and to us, to me. God will disclose a ton of stuff to me, but I have to be listening. I have to be still. And that hasn't been easy for me on this walk, because I used to could spend lots of time in quiet meditation and being still in my head, like to prepare for work and all this, but somehow it's gone. It's gone. And I'm constantly spinning in my head, what's God's will? What should I do? What meeting should I go to? And I've been going to in my time, it's the 4 a.m. meeting, and I love it. And I have not wanted to go to the 7 a.m. meeting here, my time. And because I love that 4 a.m. one, and this can't be as good as that one. That's what my head has been telling me. But my life has changed. A lot has changed. And the best thing for me is to go to this meeting. So I'm having to have an open mind. I feel like God has been guiding me to that. And this morning it seemed to come really, really strongly. Hillary, it's a good meeting. Just go. Get connected. You know other people who go to this meeting who are on the line. And it says the answers will come if your own house is in order. And because this is a new path for me, I'm thinking there's answers. There's a specific way to do this, and I have to find the exact right way to do this. And I have to listen to the right people. Like, that's so much baloney. It's like I have to listen to my higher power, let go of my fear of missing out, my fear of doing it wrong, my fear that there's only one right way and I have to find it. And I have to just let go and make sure that my relationship with God is right, That's my number one. That is the capital G, capital F, great fact for me. Thank you for the time. I'll stop right there. I appreciate all of your service. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Hillary B. from California. And Mona S., you have 2 minutes. We have about two minutes left.
Thank you so much. This is Mona S. from Montana. And I'm so grateful to be able to speak today, although nervous, because I'm fairly new and my disease likes me to be invisible. So this is an important thing for me to do. I also just want to say to any newcomer, don't quit before the miracle occurs. I've only been coming for probably close to 5 months. I've been abstinent for 4.5. I 2 weeks in heard someone say, I can be abstinent today. And I thought, oh. And that was my day, my first day of abstinence from sugar. And I've just want to say I've gone through a tough period with bronchitis and then COVID afterwards for about 2 months. And I am so infinitely grateful. My sponsor was with me every step of the way, encouraging me. I did not get back into the sugar. We visited a friend yesterday who has been very dear to us, and she is dying. And when we left the hospital, my husband and I went for a beautiful drive here. Normally, I would have grabbed sugar. I would have grabbed sugar. It wasn't until this morning when I was talking to my sponsor that I realized I didn't even think about food, and I didn't even think about sugar. Of this. That is a miracle. And that's what I'm saying. I'm having to learn to let go, let God, not let my will run the show. And I know when I'm in angst, my will is running the show. Yesterday, my sponsor helped me see that. And it was, all right, I can do today what God wants me to do. Let go and let God. So that's all I have. I'm very grateful, and don't quit before the miracle occurs. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mona S. Great way to finish us off here this morning. Well, we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Kara L., will you please read a vision for you? Kara L., please hit star one.
I'm here, Stephanie. I'm here.
Thanks.
Sorry about that. I was getting unmuted. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.